This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Steiny, he overthrew Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, then he signed the contract.
You're a grown-ass man.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, a couple of updates for you. Mike Quick, former Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver. He's now their color man, and he is going to join us at 1:30.
Yes, yes.
Great former receiver. Robert Saleh.
What's up with
you? There are four teams that have requested permission from the Niners to talk to Saleh, the Atlanta Falcons, the Titans, Baltimore, and Arizona.
Wow.
And then I'm assuming this is legit. But according to Goo,
yeah,
he says Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area reporting
tweeted
Trent Williams is practicing.
He is on the field in uniform during the early portion of the practice. Meanwhile, Ricky Pearsall is working on the side.
All right.
Man.
Trent's going to play.
Yeah.
It feels like it.
And Ricky, too.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know, I'll be honest with you. One of the good things about this show is, outside of me, is I was a little agitated today.
You're like a spoiled brat.
Been a little agitated today. A lot of it with you, not necessarily your doing, but I think I figured out. You know why I came in just a little bit. You know, I'm a happy guy, and no doubt about it. So get this, Goo. I think I know what's been eating at my craw.
Just share, please share.
So, you know, I have three daughters. They were home over the holidays. Two are now gone.
Ooh.
And my middle daughter, Grace, who lives in London,
wow,
is still here. She's leaving Sunday.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Well, she was in LA this week.
Okay.
She's coming
to see her.
She's coming back today.
All right.
So I say to Susan, hey, what time's Grace coming back? And she's like, I'm not sure. Probably, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll bet you. Look, I mean, she's in LA. Yeah. They probably went out last night. They're not going to get started till noon. So she's not going to be home till about 8.
Gotcha.
And Susan goes, well, she's got to be home by 6:30. And I said, why? And she's like, well, we have reservations for dinner with some other families, you know, or some of her friends.
Hey.
And I said, oh, where? Like, what time? And Susan goes, well, it's just the mothers.
Wow.
And daughters.
Wow, wow, wow.
So, I get 4 days left.
Yeah, I got it. I've been there. So, and what was your response to Susan?
I made it up.
A lot of times, what I say to you is, okay, all right.
Did anybody think about the old man and spending some time the last days with his daughter.
It feels like they did think about the old man and said, let's do it anyway.
And you've been taking it out on us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always some 8 years, but we're used to it.
All right. Watching some NBA last night. I told Evan this morning, and you tell me if you agree with this. I watched the Celtics game first, and then I watched the Warriors, and I see how these guys are playing. And I wrote this sentence.
Celtics lost to Denver at home.
I said, I have never seen in my entire lifetime such an advantage that the game of basketball has given to the offense.
Wow, man.
The team with the ball. The imbalance and the favoritism that the league pushes out there has made, it's just,
that's a joke.
There's never been an easier time to play offense in the NBA.
Right.
It's a joke.
Can I give you the, I'm not, this dude is phenomenal. This, Stani, this is as bad as it's ever been. But listen, this dude is an NBA champion. But the poster boy for what you're saying and about to finish saying after I interrupt is SGA. Stani is hard watching him. And he's not asking them to call it, but he knows they will. He is what's wrong with it. What happened to defense and physicality?
Well, that was half my point about how easy it is to score right now. That was half my point. But here's the other half. We have to acknowledge, right? We have to acknowledge that the way the game's been called during Steph Curry's career, okay, has enhanced his career. Like he has taken advantage of offense having the biggest advantage over defense maybe the league has ever seen.
You're one of
your,
okay. All right. No, I got okay. I got some. Hurry up.
There's nothing wrong with that. But the league itself, because of the way it plays, because of the way the game is played, has made Curry more elite. Okay. Here's what I'm getting at. That's not taking away from Steph Curry. But because the league is now where it's at, what Steph Curry is doing isn't one of a kind anymore. There are other guys, like other guys can do it. And I'm not saying they do it like Steph Curry.
What do you call it, Stani?
But the reality of the situation is, it's not that Steph Curry, who cares if he's lost 10-20% of what he was? That's not the issue. He'd still be great. The issue is that every other player also benefits from this style, which makes Curry like less unique because a lot of people score a lot now. Everybody's got guys who can make threes. Everybody's got guys capable with this offensive setup. Who's the guy last night?
Milwaukee.
Porter Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he made what did he get, 19
yeah,
last night?
Yeah, he made some good shots, though. A couple good moves.
So I'm just saying, like, here's where I'll go. Steph Curry isn't declining that much, but the league has caught up to him and the way the Warriors used to play offense. They don't play offense as well as other teams because
they don't have
only have one Steph Curry,
right?
And maybe another team doesn't quite have a Steph Curry, but they got two or three guys that are hell of an offensive player because of the rules.
Not mad at you with the rules, the refs, but who you really should be mad at to me is the refs. Rest in peace to your pops.
The refs are just enforcing what the league tells them. It has nothing to do with the refs.
But where Fitz
executing
and one of your
plan.
Best friends, Sal Castaneda, and your other best friend, me, would say you're wrong, is don't you dare put Steph in there as a beneficiary of the whistle. I know what you're saying about where the league
is
at. Stani, he's never gotten it. He still doesn't get it.
Is that what this is going to boil down to?
No,
are we going to do this again?
You already know
then
what I'm talking about.
Why is he shooting more free throws at 38 than he ever has in his career?
That's where you
Explain
were right.
Explain that
no,
to
that's
me.
That's where you were right, okay. Where that's a league thing. But my man is not getting the James Harden whistle
or
the Trae Young whistle.
And I don't want to argue with you.
Or the Jimmy Butler whistle
throughout
his career. And it's been on display just in the
Clipper
game. You
talk about excuses. Like this is another thing. Like, you got one of the greatest players in basketball history, but he doesn't get any calls. Shut up. 18 years, he doesn't get calls. Everybody else gets called.
Luka does.
But Steph Curry, that's because Luka's bigger.
Wow.
And he seeks contact. I will never fall
you got
for
your
that
narratives.
Trope.
Dude,
it's a trope.
Ask your
that
ask
has
Sal.
Been, it is a trope. What does Sal know? What does Sal know about Steph Curry?
I saw him on Twitter
fouled.
Talking about him. The whistle.
He doesn't know anything.
No, I'm going to tell him you said
He's
it.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him you said it. And Fitz watched, called every game. Stani, I'm with you on where the league's at and what they're trying to do. Steph is not the dude eating off of that. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No. And you know what?
Kyrie Irving gets a better whistle.
Okay, so let me guess. You don't think Curry's trying to foul bait more this year?
Oh, no. I told you that.
Well, there you go.
But that's him doing it.
That's right.
But he's doing it because he doesn't get what the other guys
do. He gets everything the other guys get.
Oh, stop. You know that,
Scotty. Why don't you believe that? I've explained this a million times.
Years. Exactly. Everybody knows Curry doesn't get the whistle. The whistle does not go with the standard that he is as a player.
Every Warrior fan knows that. You think Philly doesn't think Embiid doesn't get calls? I'm so sick of this. We're past that. He's been 18 years in the league.
Those guys.
That's right. You can't breathe on Curry either.
Yeah, you can.
Give me a break. The amount of excuses in this city. Please. For guys, it's unbelievable. I can't believe it.
Yeah, you know I'm right.
We got the no, you're not right. Yeah. You're not right. You can say you're right.
Never match how great Curry is. That's all. And everybody knows it.
That's because he was so skinny early in his career. He does not seek contact. Recently has he done
that. He's improved that facet of his game, going to the rack, and his ass is on the ground night, every night, and they did just... Guru is right.
That's what you think.
No, people are saying...
Oh, I'm no kidding. Warrior fans are going to believe you. It's the easiest trope to try to continue. The announcers do it. The organization does it. The front office does it. Everybody does it.
But can you meet me halfway?
No.
I'm bringing in another player. SGA. He's so great. He doesn't need to do what he's doing. He should be in basketball jail. Steiny, it's almost like... We're watching you, Shay. You're good. You don't need to do this. And he's got him in his right back pocket. Tell me you see it.
First of all,
there you go. That's it. I appreciate it.
Shay Gilgeous Alexander gets that bump. See, and this is the other thing. Come on, Steinmetz. You can actually understand numbers, right? Curry shoots the sixth most shots in the NBA. But it's 20. He's 26th in free throws. Miss me with that.
Man.
He shoots 63% of his shots from 3-point range.
All I'm asking, call a foul. That's all we're doing.
They have. He for 18 years, and this is this is the player he is. This is the player he is.
I'm going to be honest. Pretty he's good. Actually got his whistle's gotten better since Jimmy's gotten here. Go figure.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game. What a bunch of, God. Boy, you guys.
It's real.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Go ahead and talk about the big win last night, Q.
No, it was one.
No, talk about it.
It was one
big
we
win
needed.
Over the Bucks.
Yeah, and Giannis was doing his thing. I mean, man.
One of the greatest defensive performances.
Not
by
last
Draymond
night.
Green.
But Draymond, 14 points, went to the rack. I liked Melton. I liked everything.
I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Let's say Steph Curry is driving. Steph Curry weighs 200 pounds, okay? And LeBron James weighs 275 pounds.
I got you.
All right? And they're making the exact same move. They're driving to the lane, and a guy's defending him.
Gotcha.
Okay? The guy who's defending Curry is 6'6", okay? But he's there. He's there. And he performs an action on Curry.
It's a contact.
And doesn't get... My point is this. When you're 200 pounds, if a guy on defense exerts the same amount of contact to Steph Curry, okay, as they do to LeBron James, why should it, like...
But a foul's a foul. You're talking about...
If you play great defense against Steph Curry, he may... be more likely to fall, to get awkward, to be impacted by the defense to a greater degree than a guy who's bigger and stronger. It's been the way the NBA's
science.
Been.
There's something
that's
to
right.
That. All right.
That's right.
But can you just...
No.
I need you to do this.
I'm not going
to... Because you're saying Fitz.
You can talk.
You're saying myself.
Yes.
Sal.
Yes.
A Dub Nation.
All of you.
Allen Iverson. I love him.
Okay.
Right behind Steph.
Okay.
Lived on the floor. He got a better whistle than the chef.
That's according to you.
I understand like, what you're saying. Eagles, he's going to the ground. He's thick.
Right.
Dude, he doesn't get respect
so
with the whistle,
just because
man.
He goes to the ground doesn't mean it's a foul.
Right, some,
what happens
right.
if the give me an equal play that LeBron
there
and
are
LeBron and Curry make, the defense makes the exact same action, but because Curry's 200 pounds, he may get knocked
and
down.
He's adding muscle.
But that's
Stoddy,
not a foul. Not,
this
that's
is not
my
2014
point,
Curry. This dude is putting on some.
I'm not. Yeah. Evan, you don't need to take the calls. I'm not taking calls on this.
Why?
Because we've done it 15 times and we've already hammered into the ground too much today.
No.
Talk about the game last night.
I
the
did.
Warriors won, and it's so unfair that we haven't talked about them. So talk about
them. Well, I did.
That's all you have to say?
Yeah, I want you to. You got me flummoxed with this. I want you to say Steph doesn't get the whistle.
I'll never say that.
Dudes get small dudes too.
I'm telling you. I would never say that.
On the ground more than a damn mop.
I would never say that.
And it's like, do you know who that is? That's the chef. That should be an
and
one.
And that's always your answer.
What?
You go, Steph doesn't get a good he's a superstar.
I'm telling you. This is Please. People in the league. Gilbert Arenas has pointed out he doesn't get the whistle.
I'm sure you can find a lot of people. And you know what? I'll go outside the Bay Area and I'll find you just as many people that says, man, Steph gets every call in the book. You can't touch
him. Do you think he's crying too much this year for the foul?
Yes, I do. I do. Don't you?
Well, I've noticed it a little more with the hands up to where, but we're talking about buckets going in. Not, oh, I missed it. I'm foul. He's making them on the ground. Where's the and one?
Quit begging. And you know what?
Well, I quit because this is years in the
now
making.
Now we're going to get into this, too. I'm watching that Warrior game, and I'm like, who is this team? We got our two best players foul, like just trying to bait people into fouls.
Steph,
and that's great.
Yeah, don't
you can
put
win
Steph
games
there
like,
with Jimmy.
You don't think Steph, I'm sorry. This is where I got to say you're wrong. Anybody who has objectively viewed Steph Curry for 18 years, and watch every game knows that this year he's fishing more.
But what if he knows because the league's fishing more?
That's why he's doing it. But it's also a function of age.
Jimmy is a function of age, and I know shaded Jimmy. He's lost something. Explosion, and it's okay. He is, and that's why we saw the air ball game winner. When it was just, hey, it's basketball. Let's see what you got. Age is, okay, Father Time got him a little bit. But don't act like Curry's 29.8, which is 30 a game, is all predicated on foul baiting. Like
I'm not saying that.
But it sounds like it.
Of course I'm not. Of course I'm not. But
I'm concerned about Jimmy needing that because that's more to his game than his game
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Like,
that's
you think
real.
Jimmy's going to be able to do that in the playoffs?
No. And he didn't do it against Minnesota.
They're going to the Western Conference Finals. They're done, Goo. And I think you know
Well, we got a bet.
Yeah, we sure do.
Well, the Lakers helping me out.
They lost last night. I wouldn't count.
That was a back-to-back. LeBron didn't play.
I'm going to tell you this right
Schedule
now.
Schedule lost.
I feel better about the Warriors not winning 50 than the Lakers finishing in the top six.
Are you kidding? Why?
I'm just saying more of a sure thing. Like, I don't think the Warriors can win 50 this year.
I thought you were saying
like,
the other way.
In fact, you want to
What was your clip? You said they had to go 30. What was it?
Like 31 and 30 and 14. You know, that's a 55 win pace for the rest of the year. I don't think they can do that. But if you look at the Western Conference standings.
Can you say something nice about the team last night? Like, give me something good. I gave you Melton. No, you should always send in your heart, not on your computer screen.
I do something that's known as preparing. I don't know if you do it. Let me see.
You're a
natural, Richard.
Oh, you are, man.
Oh, here's... You know what? I can't say anything good about last night's game. This guy is such a D. Like, let me tell you what's going to happen. They're going to go 6-1 the rest of this homestand.
That's what's eating at you.
No, and then you're going to say again that, hey, blah, blah, blah. And
I'm back to new information.
Yeah. Well, don't this time.
No, I already told you I'm disappointed in the construct of the team. Like, nothing can take that away. And I'm hoping the 15 comes and goes and Kuminga finds a new home and we get something for him. But to have
cut the cord.
Well, they got to do it. Oh, man.
A bunch of stuff bothered me last night with this team. And I'll just be honest.
Pods.
Well, did I say the part about Draymond on the air? Or was I just complaining to everybody?
Say that.
Was I just complaining to everybody on the staff?
You got
to
go public. But you know your answer. That's what bothers me about you. You know what it is.
But like, Warrior fans need to understand the double standard. Just like Steph doesn't get any calls, there's another side to the story. Last night, Draymond Green takes a shot from the wing.
I saw it.
I'm watching it on television. And I'm like, that's not even close. And in fact, I'm like, might have ticked the bottom of the net.
All right.
Okay?
I know what shot you're talking
about. Nobody says anything. Draymond starts running up the court. hit the rim. And the refs go, let's check. Warriors go over to their bench. They get a timeout. And they look at the replay, and he's like, it wasn't even close to hitting the rim.
So why'd they challenge it?
I don't know, because whatever Draymond wants, Draymond gets, I guess.
And that's old. And that's the only thing that I would like to
assume. Secondly, Miles Turner is trying to get position on Brandon Pajemski, who is doing a nice job trying to keep him out, trying to box him, trying to get physical with him. He gets called for a foul. He does the shrug for the extended shrug. Can't understand it. I see Draymond, won't take a playoff, goes up to the official, starts talking to him about, that was good defense, blah, blah, blah. You can't call that. They show a replay, and Pods is grabbing Miles Turner's shorts.
I saw it. And Kalina pointed that out. No. And so did Bob. Now, I
got 3 minutes left. You got to fish.
My fams, I know you have your stands, and I have mine. Evan has his. But this just blew me away. Because you've been interrupting me all show. It's fine because I love Passionate Steiny. My fams, Guru, let Steiny finish a take. How dare you? On a day like today when you've been interrupting and stepping on me for him
Guru,
to write that.
Guru, stop it.
Evan's right there.
I don't want to do
Evan's
this.
Evan's the ref. Richard Steele, if you want to go to the ref and review it, he'll be honest and tell us who steps on
no,
who.
I
do it naturally.
You've just done it 4 times. You don't want to have that contest.
Mine's out of excitement.
It's like a guy who says, I didn't mean to foul. It's still a foul.
Yeah.
You still got to call it.
Unless it's Curry. Yeah. That, dude, you're going to catch hell for that.
I've said it for his whole career. I think I've watched a little bit of basketball in my lifetime. I might be wrong.
But you were right on the league. It's out of control.
It's a joke. What else was on my list of stuff to talk about? Foul him!
One piece of news.
Uh-oh.
Fred Warner was seen on the practice field today for the first time. For the 49ers.
This is what I'm waiting for. Evan the funny man to say he was in civilian clothes.
No, he was on the practice. No, but he was just out on the practice field. Steiny, I don't know if you noticed the last time he was on a field, but his ankle went sideways.
Yeah, I know. What are you saying?
I'm saying this is the first time he's been on a football field.
And my point is, over the last month, you've done just something like that and then stuck in the just kind of kidding. He had a suit and tie on.
Well, that's fair, but I wouldn't do that with Fred Warner.
Yeah. You got ETSD.
What's that?
Evan Post-Syndrome.
Want to try that again? Why don't you try it again, Goo? Try it again.
Like a botched punch. This is film on Mike personal. Tell Steiny he know he doing too much. Steph don't get no, I can't say the word,
you
calls.
Guys are the biggest homers.
And Rollins,
this is why I hate fans.
And
I don't
want to
hear it. He had a call. He already called.
Who did?
Don't read his text. He already called.
That's my
buddy. Right. Try to read it again. I'll just talk over it like you do me.
But you did a bad job, dear.
Where?
Trying to talk over me. People still hurt me.
What's Evan's thing?
ETSD. Not PTSD. Post-traumatic.
Mike Quick coming up at 1:30, and I'll transition to...
Fouls.
to this. You know, I've been around a while. Seen athletes like Steph Curry and Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Joe Montana, come and go. Seen it all, the highs, the lows, and the pain that comes with getting knocked down. But when it's not just a game, and when you're the one injured, or when tragedy strikes somebody you love, that's when Beam Law comes in. Beam Law is the Bay Area's go-to personal injury firm, and whether it's a car accident, a serious injury, or a wrongful death, they are there to shoulder the legal burden so you can focus on rebuilding, recovery, and taking care of your family. Beam Law is local, and they win. With millions recovered for clients across the region, that's why SF Weekly voted them Best of the Bay 4 times. So if you've been hurt or lost someone because of someone else's negligence, call Beam Law at 415-523-5555. That's 415-523-5555. Or visit hurtinthebay.com. That's hurtinthebay.com, because it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get back up. Beam Law, they've got your back, Bay Area.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gotta be delicate with those calves. What's the question? I think you just answer your own question.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, what?
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, coming up at 1:30, we got Eagles color analyst Mike Quick. He's a former all-pro wide receiver for Philadelphia, played 9 seasons with the Eagles, and knows that team inside and out. And obviously the 49ers taking them on Sunday at 1:30 at Lincoln Financial. And we're talking about what's at stake for this game. What's the biggest thing that concerns you if you're a 49er fan?
I mean, I hate to be a one-trick pony, but I mean it to the core. It's the defense. It just is. And hopefully Robert Saleh, who I know has interviews lined up next week with other teams, Donnie, I hope he can pull a rabbit out of his hat. But it's the defense. And I think you're pretty hard-pressed, Donnie, to find another answer. But you asked me, and I'm just being real. Like, let's just say the Niner offense is clicking better than it was against Seattle, and they score 27. Donnie, what if the defense is not clicking? They could easily give up 30 to 40 to this team, which they haven't done, the Eagles themselves. But, you know, what if it's a good day at the office? Shout out Ice Cube.
I mean, you know, we had Emmanuel Acho on, and he seems to think once you get to this point, a team is who they are. And for whatever reason, he says the Eagles scheme is a joke. High schoolish, and it's part of the reason that – and they've had some offensive line issues – but I mean, they have not been able to run the ball effectively. I got an idea for the Niners. You know what the Niners got to do, right? They got to do the same thing with Mike McDaniel that they did with Robert Saleh. They got to get McDaniel back after he got fired today.
But what will that do for the lack of weaponry at the outside positions, especially with Pierce?
I think a lot of people would say the 49ers might have been at their best when McCarthy was the OC. I mean, McDaniel. Sorry. Yeah.
It's interesting. I know today is not the day, but I do wonder how much Debo not being on this team has affected their run game. I mean, that's not going to help them this week. Nobody wants to hear about it, but it's something I think about, Scotty.
That's fair. Yeah. Vic Fangio on the difference between Brock and Mac Jones.
Not that much. You know, they were very successful with Mac playing. I think he started 8 games, if I'm not mistaken, and they won 5 or 6 of those. Mac's a really good quarterback, and he's where he should have been from the start.
Oh,
wow.
It's almost like he has that the football world has knowledge that.
Yeah.
Mac, they did want to go with Mac. That's weird. Wow. Listen to that one again.
Not that much. You know, they were very successful with Mac playing. I think he started 8 games, if I'm not mistaken, and they won 5 or 6 of those. Mac's a really good quarterback, and he's where he should have been from the start.
I wonder if that means he should have been drafted at 3 or he knows that the Niners wanted to go there at three, but for some reason didn't.
Yeah. And I know how, dude, that is wild. I know how your mind thinks and you're going to want more, but just for the sake of this exercise, just let's dumb it down. Now, Vic Fangio, Kyle's gone up against him four times, Donnie. Okay. The offense, Kyle's offense has produced these points.
Okay.
11, 6, 15, and 9. I don't lie. You're going to want who?
Yes. You don't know. Do you know who, what, where, when, how?
No, but I just like, I don't like that. But yeah, I'm just like, I knew you were going to give it, give me more. But man, that's not good. But, you know, I won't say this because I am. You're kind of fixated because I am. Study. I've been watching the game all week again. Dude, that Niner offense was humming. And yet at home, you put up three. Like, wow, make that can't happen again.
Why not?
With people where you're like, oh, they're mad.
That's why this game is compelling. It's because the Niners look good all season, really good against teams they should beat. Last week, they played the best team they've played probably since the Rams' loss, and they got bounced. And now the question is, can they hang in this game and find a way to steal it? Yeah. Or are we going to look like we looked kind of last week? And points are tough to come by.
Yeah, let's hope it's not. I'll say this about my little nuggy nug. I gave you half nug. Their last matchup, Stoney, was in 2018. So nothing really recent. Fangio and Kyle.
So Jason Kelce was on the Eagles team that beat the San Francisco 49ers.
When Purdy got hurt.
Yeah, when Purdy got hurt. And he was reminiscing about that game. I don't know where this is from, but I'll figure it out.
Was there hatred?
I think definitely from the Niners' standpoint. You know, I think that became hatred from our standpoint probably after that following regular season game. You know, I think, you know, we beat them up in Philadelphia, obviously Philadelphia. Most of the people that I hear from now are fans that we beat in the link when they thought they were going to win the game. Right. So like the 49ers came in, they thought that they were going to take us down, and they're mad that the game's going well or not going well for them. And then they're also mad that like Philadelphia is giving them a hard time. And it's like, what did you expect? You're coming in here confident in our house, trying to throw it in our face. And now you're mad that people are upset with you. Like, you're out of your mind.
I didn't realize he seems to be saying that the Eagles thought the 49ers were going to come into that game and wax him.
Well, I'm taking it that he's talking about the fans. Maybe. How would he know if the players, you know, they ain't gonna, you know what I mean? Like, how do you know if the players are confident?
Well,
one, you're supposed to be if it's about the player. I think he's thinking about the fans.
Well, the question was there hatred between the Niners and the Eagles? See, I think he is talking about the players because wasn't that the year that somebody tweeted out something about 49er player about I didn't think Philly was all that and after the game. Like after
Debo did
yeah,
him and
exactly.
The DB, I forget Johnson, yeah. They were going at it. Yeah.
Exactly. This is more Jason Kelce.
Yeah, they definitely were resentful that Brock got hurt. I still think we win the game if Brock's in there. I think our defense was incredible that year, and I think offensively, although we started a little kind of wonky in that game, we got going and we were running the ball very well. You know, as good as they were defensively, those linebackers didn't play the RPOs very well, and they were kind of flat-footed, and that allowed us to take their strength out of the game. Fred Warner, you know, how fast he is, all of a sudden you put him in a reading situation, and he's got to be a tick slower. And, you know, we played well in that game. That's the bottom line.
What do you remember about that game? Do you remember anything other than Purdy getting hurt?
You know, I'm hurt. 8 years together. Because you know where I'm going.
Kyle challenged
that catch.
What's the question?
And he threw that flag, Evan, on that Devonta Smith catch. Maybe Purdy doesn't get hurt and everything changes. So I hope he's quick on the draw this Sunday. Like, Steiny, I know he wants that one back. But that's what I remember.
Like, well,
Evan,
I remember
Kyle, that. You know how I think, Steiny. What? That could have changed everything.
I mean, I think what I remember isn't so much about the game, but out of that game, didn't the NFL come up with the emergency starter played or not.
Yeah, you're right.
Because, they only had Josh Johnson and and Brock Purdy.
Now, McCaffrey had a hell of a touchdown run on that in that game, too, though. He skedaddled in the flat, and then went in.
Okay.
So Josh Johnson did get his revenge.
Oh, he beat somebody this week, last week.
Philly.
Yeah. Dude, Josh is a friend of mine, too, Stoney.
Who?
Josh Johnson. Remember I interviewed him at the Madden tournament over at Halftime Sports Bar?
No, I don't remember.
For the Chuck Johnson
Madden tournament?
I sent you the video.
When? Like, that was 19 years ago.
2019, 20.
You know one thing I want to get into? We got Mike Quick coming up in 4 or 5 minutes.
You get a fanboy.
Maybe. Maybe just to piss off people in the Bay.
No, because you used to go to the event.
I saw him play 16 games in 2 years at Veterans Stadium in the mid-'80s.
Oh,
he was
man.
Incredible.
Dude, on that turf, too. That's when football was football.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
Those were the salad days. Wait, here comes something.
He's too old.
Okay. Guess what? So I went to use the facilities. And leave it to Dibs to get me upset.
What? So it had to be Quick, too.
He didn't mean to get me upset. He was actually talking about him and Willard. But it applied to us, too.
Oh,
and I wanted to take his head off when he said, I said, hey, Dibs, what's up? And he goes, meeting today. And I was like, oh, that's right. We got a meeting today after the show. And he's like, yeah, ours is before the show. But,
oh,
come on.
Let me be quiet.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. Sonny, don't last long.
Depends on you.
No, I'm not. I'm under the weather, so you know I'm a.
You know what?
I'm
hey, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Why don't you just say, hey, seriously, Matt, I really am not feeling good.
Because that would consist of doing something I don't do, and that's a lie.
Well, first of all,
I lie to certain people.
You do. You said you're sick. Your voice is shut. My voice is getting messed up, too.
Dude, because you've been yelling like an infant.
I know, because I didn't realize I was doing a show with high school Homer's Harry. I mean, goodness gracious.
You've been screaming, but now we know it's about your daughter and the dinner that you won't be a part of. So what you eating? They'll bring you something back.
You know what? Maybe I'll go treat myself to Kakari. Spend a couple $100 on myself.
Well, you don't want to do it like we did for our show party.
No kidding.
We ate big.
What a weasel.
I had a chicken Caesar salad.
The boss is in a meeting now, so I can call him a weasel.
Evan pointed it out.
Now, I might, too, depending on how long the meeting goes.
Yeah. Dude, we got a game tonight. Just playoff vibes.
Yeah.
You said who earlier.
Just that, like,
Miami, Ole Miss, you got to, come on.
That doesn't do anything for
me. This is an appetizer for the playoff weekend, and we got one tomorrow, Oregon, Indiana.
Right.
Like, I'm ready, and some hoops.
This is the quintessential game that I have no interest in, but maybe I'll make a bet just so I'm a little interested. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, I do. Yeah.
With nothing at stake. I mean,
I'm rooting for Miami, the U.
What's the line, even though I know nothing about either of these teams, really?
Now, shockingly, I don't know.
But you're going to bet on it anyway.
No, nobody said anything about betting. I'm going to just watch with Norm.
You guys got to put some respect on my gambling.
Yeah.
I won't.
A little less than 26.
So did you see the Nuggy Nugs game?
I did.
Against the Celtics?
Boston was favored by 9 at home and lost. Boston's playing without Jokic. What's going on, Denver, without Jokic? What's going on?
Doris Burke got on my bad side last night.
What happened to her?
It's going to be too complicated to explain on the radio.
You're good with words. Do it quick.
Maybe that's why I got off on the wrong foot with him today. Is because
you and Evan, I missed it.
Oh yeah, I know, because you're oblivious. And I said, yeah, Doris Burke got me.
I was there.
She was on the downside, and I was like, it's kind of complicated what happened. And I said, I'll try to make it, I'll try to do it quick. And Evan was like, yeah. That'd be a first.
Don't you understand I referee between you two and you guys don't even know what happened at the time. You guys put me in situations.
You're among the most delusional people I've ever met in my entire life. And I don't take that as an insult. No malice.
I love to dream. Yeah. Now, what do you mean by delusional? The Warriors.
You just don't. Yeah, I don't know. You're like a.
And I'm laughing as well.
You're
what's
like
so
a.
Bad
you're
about
you're
it.
Like.
It's no, I got just a
some,
heart.
There's just some things where you're like a newborn baby into the world. Even though you've seen something a thousand times, every time, Mike quit.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Did you tell him I was from Reading?
Dude.
Maybe that's why he's not coming in. All right, well, I got time to explain the Doris Burke situation.
Go ahead.
All right. There's context in every game.
See, Mo, he's not saying I'm dumb. Go ahead.
Okay, that's one. The Denver Nuggets are leading the. Oh.
We're in show business.
Yeah. Maybe we do have Mike Quick for 4 minutes. Okay. We'll take him. Do you want me to give him grief?
I don't think you have the cojones.
Please.
This is your hero. Mike Quick was mad.
My hero? No, not my hero. All right.
Mike!
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, I don't have to give him grief because he is on time. Let's go to the River Islands guest line, ladies and gentlemen. And never forget that all guests on 95.7 the Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's welcome in Mike Quick, played 9 seasons for the Philadelphia Eagles. 5-time Pro Bowler. Mike, how you doing, man? And now works for the Eagles as an analyst. Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys on the west side doing?
We're hanging in. Yeah, we're doing all right, trying to talk about this game. And I guess I just want a little perspective on the Eagles. Right out of the gate, I'll just ask you, how come they've had some trouble running the ball this year?
Right out the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had some offensive line woes this year. And I think it begins with the health or lack thereof and of some of the key parts of the offensive line. I don't think the center has been completely healthy all year. The left guard, Landon Dickerson, he's had his health issues. Lane Johnson's been out of the lineup quite a bit. But even early in the season when they were healthy, the Eagles have had issues this year running the football.
Mike, let me ask you this, because, I was really a detractor of Sirianni and Jalen Hurts before they won the Super Bowl. They win the Super Bowl, and now, Mike, I listen to some of your post-game shows after you guys win, and the fans act like you lost. And I say that to say, do you expect this Eagle offense to come out, hit that button, and shut everybody up? Or is there some validity to some possible concerns of how this offense has been pedestrian at times?
So I don't think there is a button at this stage that you just press the button and things start to open up and work right. It really is a lot of hard work. And this is not an offense that, like last year, they could line up and just dominate the line of scrimmage and move the ball, run the football. You know, this team got the offensive coordinator head coaching job last year, and all the offensive coordinator had to do was call Saquon left, Saquon right, because the offensive line was so dominant last year. It's just not that way. They have to be more creative and come up with better ways of winning football games, not just dominating in the run game.
Mike Quick joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's the Eagles analyst, and he's a former all-pro wide receiver for Philadelphia. He played 9 years there. I know it's a playoff game, and you know that the 49ers are pretty beat up on defense. They're without Warner and Bosa. I guess my question is this. Is there any Does that impact in any way, or could it psychologically, the Eagles, even though it's a playoff game?
Yeah, even though it's a playoff, you are aware of where the weaknesses are when you play in this game. You study teams. You know where the injured players are. You know where the players are that you think you can take advantage of. So when you're game planning, and I'm sure the Eagles are doing this, when they're game planning, they're looking at those areas and those areas where they think they have an advantageous position. And if that's because Bosa's not there, if that's because the linebacker depth, you know, you're playing with teams guy or what do you call it? Practice squad linebacker. And you got Eric Kendricks, who's been around a long, long time. And, you know, when you look at things like that, when you're scouting teams, you look to exploit that. Does that make you more vulnerable? Because I don't think so. I think it's a smart way to approach teams where they seem to have weaknesses. That's what you go after.
Mike, let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on Brock Purdy, just as a quarterback? You know, when you look at, you know, the quarterbacks in the playoffs, where do you have Brock Purdy at?
I think he's one of the more talented quarterbacks in our league, not just the playoffs. I just think he's a really good quarterback. I don't know if he gets the credit for his ability to extend plays, to make plays out of structure. I think he's a really good quarterback. And especially now in the system, the way Kyle likes to do things, I think that's a good marriage. The two of them are a real good fit.
Mike, I've likened Brock Purdy. If you want to use this on Sunday, feel free.
Give me good stuff.
I've likened Brock Purdy to like a mouse in a kitchen that you think you have him, and then he goes behind the fridge, and then he comes out, and you think you have him, and he goes behind the stove, and you can never quite get him.
I like that. I don't know if I'll use that, but I like that a lot.
All right, I appreciate it. Hey, we had a receiver out here, Brandon Ayuk. You know, you might not be familiar with the entire situation, but it sounds like a guy signed a contract but really didn't want to be here. It doesn't look like he's going to be a 49er next year. Just as a receiver who's accomplished what you've accomplished, he's a young receiver, he had one great season. Like, just your general take on Brandon Ayuk and what's going on here.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know the player. I think he's really talented. But when you waste a year, these years are so precious. This is such a short segment of your life when you get an opportunity. And I say opportunity. It's an opportunity to play in the National Football League. And if you're going to play 5 years, if you're going to play 10 years, 15 years, it's a short segment of your life. So to me, I think you should try and maximize each and every opportunity, each and every year that you get a chance to do it. I think Brandon Ayuk's making a huge mistake, but who am I? If I'm in that situation, maybe I do things the way he did. I don't think so. I think I want to play, even if I'm not completely satisfied in every situation. I'm not going to let an entire year almost pass me by without playing in the game. I remember when the kid was in college, because he played for a teammate of mine, Herm Edwards, and I thought he was a really good football player. And, you know, I look forward to seeing him play again.
Mike, I got a question. I want to, if you don't mind, give you my thoughts on Jalen Hurts, because when he runs, I feel like there's a labor. That, and, you know, I'm on the West Coast looking and watching at him. I feel like it hurts him at times to run, so that's why he hasn't looked like he had in years past. I do wonder, with all that, you know, weaponry on the outside with Smith and Brown, why there's not more, you know, fireworks. But if my partner's going to call Purdy a mouse, what would you call Jalen at this juncture?
Well, I don't know how to put him in a box like that. But I think Jalen, a lot like Brock Purdy, has the ability to do things that, when you do everything right on defense, these guys have the ability to still make a play out of nothing. They have that ability to do things outside the structure and outside of what the defense was expecting you to do. when you're doing everything that you should do defensively, they've come up with a way to beat you. That's what Jalen's been able to do with extended plays, and then they start their scramble drill and getting the ball to AJ or getting the ball to Smitty. You kind of have to have that today. It's really hard to just be a guy who stays in the pocket and operate from the pocket and win football games in this league. The defensive guys have gotten just so good at breaking down protections and then covering up receivers on the back end.
Mike Quick joining us on 95.7 The Game. Real quick, Mike, it was funny because we had this game here where of the 14 playoff teams, if I gave you the first pick in the NFL playoff draft, you know, somebody asked me, what team would I take? And I thought about it, and I'd say the Eagles, but for only one reason. It's because they're defending champs. I mean, how wide open is this playoffs?
I don't know if I've ever seen it more wide open. I think the NFL finally got it right. Well, finally got what they wanted.
Right.
They have talked so much about parity, luckily for this, I don't know how many years. Well, this is the first time that we get to this stage in the season, and there's no way that I could comfortably say this is the team to beat. This is the best team in the National Football League. It hasn't. So the 49ers had their run way back when. Dallas had a run when you knew that they were a dominant team. The Patriots, of course, you knew Tom Brady there. They had their dynasty. Kansas City. But we don't have such a team right now in the National Football League. If you tell me that you know the two teams that are going to be in the Super Bowl, I will tell you that you don't know what you're talking about.
Mm. Mike, I'm just thinking about the rich history with the Eagles, with Jerome Brown and Reggie White and Seth Joy. Rest in yes. peace to those guys. Rest in peace. And I'm thinking about Jalen Carter. How much of a game wrecker, demonstrative, can he be in this game?
He's all of those guys that you just mentioned. He can do all of that. Even with this year, early in the season, both shoulder, he was having issues with both shoulders, and he still probably has some issues, but got some time off, got some treatment on those shoulders, and going to play. But, man, this guy is so quick off the ball. He's so violent with his hands. He loves football. He loves the collisions. He loves the action. And to me, he's just fun to watch. You mentioned Jerome. You mentioned Reggie White. He is a throwback to that style of football player. He's a guy, when you line him up, you probably don't want to trust one guy to keeping him off of your quarterback. He's that dynamic.
Mm. All right, Mike, I'll get you out of here on this one. So I grew up outside of Philadelphia and saw a lot of games in the 80s at the Vet. And I now work in San Francisco, and obviously it's 49er country. And they asked me to ask you about the Joe Montana four touchdowns in the second half, 38-28 comeback win. You remember that game in 89?
Yeah, I remember it, but I don't want to remember it.
Well, that's what they're making me do out here.
Well, you should just say no.
There you go, Mike.
You know what?
You're another transfer. Tim Colacami's out there too, huh?
Yeah, he was. He worked for the Philadelphia Daily News for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I was at that game.
Of course, I remember that game. It was one of. In fact, it was probably the worst game of my career because I don't ever recall a game where I had three drops, and I had three drops in that game. So thank you for reminding me.
I'm sorry. You also had some bad luck. Yeah. I'm going to say a punt hit one of your guys on the helmet, and he turned the ball a punt.
Was, yep.
Mike, I can't remember the details, but I know it was a heartbreaker. And I was an Eagles fan back then, Mike. Go ahead.
Mike, I got to slip this in. I know we're going to let you go here, but you said something that hit me when you said as wide open as this field is for in the playoffs, and I don't want to get you in trouble with your employer, and I know I can't, but does that mean you think less of the Eagles' chances of repeating because they beat a Chief team? I mean, knocked them out, but the Eagles are still in the field. But for you to kind of give credence to it's open, I'm wondering, because maybe what's going on with Philly that we can't see behind closed doors, have you lost a little confidence in them of going back-to-back?
has nothing at all to do with that. It just has being objective and looking at the National Football League, looking at all of these teams that are in the postseason, objectively looking at them, there's not a dominant team in the run. There is not. There's not a favorite horse in this race at all. Yes, the Eagles are defending champions, and to get it, you got to come through the Eagles to get it, but there is not a dominant horse in this race.
Hey, Mike, appreciate Thank it so you. Much. Yeah. You brought me a lot of joy as a teenager growing up, so I ain't seeing you Very play. Cool. So good luck to the Eagles, good luck to the Niners, and have a great call on Sunday.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Mike Quick,
he was cool.
Eagles analyst, former All-Pro wide receiver for Philadelphia. He played 9 years
with
the Eagles.
He didn't like that memory. He didn't want to remember that. In the second half, I remember Joe was bad.
I'll never forget that game.
You were there.
I was.
That's incredible, man.
I was. It's like, you remember, like I tell you, like, who can explain why certain things you remember and others you don't? But
there it's was like an NBA team being down 30.
There was a play where the Eagles punted to the Niners. It bounced, I want to say, hit a 49er, bounced, and then hit a 49er in the helmet and popped up. And Philadelphia, San Francisco recovered. And
man, oh, man.
The rest is history.
One of their greatest comebacks.
It was, Montana was so good.
What I'm fascinated with is what he said, and he explained it. He said it wasn't about his team or Philly not losing confidence. It's just wide open. What if your team's on the cusp that almost got it? This is like the worst. Okay, when the Chiefs were dominant, we didn't make the playoffs. Let's go to the lab and try to get back, but we don't got to. The fact that it's wide open and teams didn't, like Dallas and all the other teams, this is the year where you're killing yourself, right? Because if Detroit's of the world, if you got in, who knows?
See, I look at it from the other way. There was enough parity this year that if you didn't get in, you're not one of the best teams. And, you know, like I said, who was your, if you picked the Rams out of all the teams?
I mean,
I think it's wide open. And the only reason I picked the Eagles was because won it last year. Right. And hell, that may end up kind of working against them.
Evan, who's your pick?
To
win it all.
You want to do this today or tomorrow?
Or do we do it today?
No, we don't.
Because I said it already.
Well, we can pick the pick. Who would I pick to win the Super Bowl?
Right now.
I got to go with the Seahawks. I just think they're the best team.
Stiney. So you're telling me Sam Darnold's going to hoist that Lombardi. They're that good.
We'll do that tomorrow.
That's what we'll do
Let
tomorrow.
Let me ask you this real quick. Why not Stafford? I think McVay is
Why not the Rams?
Because there are 10 other players on the field besides the quarterback.
Wow.
At one time.
Man.
And the Seattle Seahawks, to me, are the best team in football.
And I'm not being smarty. They were getting dominated Thursday night before two-point gate happened. You give the Rams that game was done. It wasn't, obviously. But you don't look at that like, man.
Well, I think we see things differently. You believe that a team can play at their peak at any time, can just summon it.
Right.
And that's fair. I'm more of the belief that how you're playing in the present is going to dictate your performance.
And Mike Quick agreed with you because he said no button.
So did Acho. Because I said, Acho was talking about their high school running and how...
It is what it is.
Yeah, it's...
It ain't getting better. But you don't know that. We don't know.
When the 49ers win, who's their likely opponent? What do they got after this? Let's look ahead.
No, that's a great call.
I think it's Seattle.
Okay.
I mean, assuming the Packers don't upset the
Bears.
And
that would be before the NFC Championship game.
And then you'd probably have to go to LA.
Dude, that is just losing Saturday. But focus on one thing at a time.
I'm over Saturday.
I can't stop watching the game.
49er fans are getting over it, too. Shasky's over, and he's the bellwether.
Can I tell you the play that sticks out to me?
Which one? Which game?
It's Niners-Seattle.
From last week? I know. Let me guess.
Okay.
Because I know you.
Well, let's see. And I'm being honest.
The play that sticks, 3rd and 17.
No, that's a great guess. Oh. It's Kittle in the flat and a Seattle defender being right there for a loss of TFL. Like, Evan, that play used to go from 15 all the time. or maybe to the house. But Seattle had it diagnosed to where this is a loss, Jack. You ain't going nuts. They caught the mouse on that play.
Well, that's when I think Acho was talking about, you know, you can't make Saleh wrap up or have you replace the Green Laws or the Charvarius Wards. And it's just you look at some other teams and, yeah, those are the players that make the plays when it's presented to them. Meanwhile, the Niners, sometimes they wrap up, sometimes they don't. And against the Seahawks, they missed 18 tackles.
I do wonder if Saleh's going to be back here next year and the state of Bob Myers looking at what was going on with the Warriors allegedly and he got out. I do wonder with the state of the Niners defense and the health, and obviously he wants to coach again. Man, Steiny, if he's got those many jobs, you know, lined up, he might really be out of here.
Let me ask you, what do you make of 18 missed tackles?
I mean, Steve said it best. You can't have that.
You can't, but like how many missed tackle, and you'll never be able to know this, but how many missed tackles are because there's a talent gap. You know what I mean?
There's got to be a ratio.
Struggling to tackle. By the way, let's take a listen to one of the classiest coaches in the NFL. Asked about the opponent, San Francisco.
I have so much respect for this football team. They've had sustained success. You know, Kyle's done an unbelievable job there.
And a ton of respect for him
and then their players. You know, there is a lot of familiar faces. There are, you know, a bunch of guys that are really good players, which is why they're still playing there. And so can't tell you how much respect I have for this football team. You can see how well coached they are. You can see, again, how talented they're playing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Players are, you see how hard they play, physical, you know, fundamentally sound. So, I can't say enough about, you know, this team and, you know, we got to do what we, you know, the things that we know we need to do to be able to go in there and have success.
Yeah, it's Nick Sirianni. He was voted first team all class this year.
Hey, we got to give him love, or Steve Kerr. He said he studied Kerr.
Yeah.
Nobody's talked about
that.
That's
right. Evan brought that
up. Yeah, he studied Kerr. That's a flex.
Trying to find joy. Trying to find joy in this season for the Eagles.
A little tougher to do in Philly.
Man.
No doubt. And a little tougher to, you know, get that joy out of Steve Kerr now as opposed to 2022. All right. Crossover time coming up next. So what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Segment also brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.